Thanks for joining. One of the things that we like to think about when we start thinking about how we can improve performance is making sure that we have good flexibility, good range of motion. And part of this goes into the idea about what is the importance of stretching. When we start thinking about stretching, we start thinking about a lot of times what we did when we were in PE class, doing a lot of static holds in an attempt to elongate the body, an attempt to warm the body up, ready to do the PE class. Or what we might see in some of our fitness classes, where we are going to do a lot of posing, a lot of holding in terms of body positions based off of certain types of suggestions that might come about as for benefits to stretching. So, do we have evidence to support why we might do stretching? So, why stretch? Well, we have the ideas of things like reduce soreness, remove lactic acid, increase range of motion, improve flexibility, perform better, build muscles, and lengthen the body. But do we have the evidence to support those conjectures about stretching? Well, let's talk about that.
Warning. The following presentation contains information that might contradict what you have previously heard or believed to be true about how the human body works, and contains material that is not suitable for closed-minded individuals. Enjoy.
So let's walk through the various things we might see when we start thinking about stretching. A lot of times we start thinking about stretching, we have to lead into what we might be doing in the gym that might be building up some sort of soreness that we're going to try to alleviate with stretching, such as what might come about when we do super heavy lifts, where we have to somehow remove some of the stresses that come about from that heavy lift, where we're going to be looking at things like reducing muscle soreness, or the idea that stretching might help remove lactic acid. Well, there's something that we have to talk about before we get into the details as relates to muscle soreness, and that's the fact that we actually don't build up lactic acid within the muscles. This idea is an older idea about muscle soreness and what muscle soreness comes about. Yes, there is some lactate. Yes, there is some lactic acid that can develop from exercise, but it's not going to develop and build up within the muscles, leading to soreness. When we start thinking about soreness, particularly soreness coming about from, say, like heavy lifting or doing strenuous exercise, a lot of this idea about the muscle soreness has come about due to tissue damage, and tissue damage triggering embedded immune cells, and immune cells leading to an inflammation response, and that inflammation response leading to further activation of immune cells and further activation of more inflammation signals, which is going to lead to the inflammation, to the scars, to the fibrotic changes within the muscles. That's going to inhibit a lot of muscle growth that we're trying to get from the exercise that we're doing. All of this idea in terms of the muscle damage, we went into detail in our discussion on NSAIDs and muscle soreness and muscle performance. But what we're looking at here, and we're looking at the stretching idea, is how can we utilize stretching to reduce a lot of this inflammation and reduce a lot of the soreness that can come about from the tissue damage that gets caused by the heavy lifting, by the heavy exercising. So what might stretching do? What is stretching going to do as relates to this idea about reducing soreness and alleviating some of the pain? It's going to help increase blood flow, increase fluid flow through the tissues. It's going to cause a muscle pumping action. That muscle pumping action is going to help reduce a lot of the inflammation that we might see within the tissues, which is going to help alleviate some of the tissue tension that's there. That tissue tension is going to lead to a lot of the pain that we might see. So by increasing fluid flow, by doing some sort of light movement through the area, by doing some sort of stretching in the area, whether it is static stretching or dynamic stretching, what we're going to be able to do is we're going to be able to reduce some of that inflammation. And by reducing some of the inflammation, we're going to be able to reduce some of the pain. We're going to be able to eliminate a lot of the cardinal signs of having tissue damage, having some sort of immune response to the exercise that we did, that's going to help us get into that muscle building side of the recovery phase within exercise. Now, a lot of people talk about stretching as the ability to increase range of motion and improve our overall flexibility, with this guidance that by increasing range of motion and increasing flexibility, we're going to somehow lengthen the body. Now, there's no real way to lengthen the body outside of actually growing. When we start thinking about, okay, I'm going to lengthen my body doing flexibility by doing stretching, by doing some sort of range of motion training, what we're actually looking at is going to the full range of motions that we possibly have within the body. If we start talking about and discussing some of the exercises that people within yoga, people within Pilates might be doing in terms of this lengthening idea, what they're really talking about is being able to limit or minimize the amount of hypertrophication, the amount of bulking that can take place within exercise, but we're not really lengthening the body. Yes, we are improving range of motion. Yes, we are improving flexibility. Whether it is doing it in a static style where we're going to a position and holding, a more dynamic style where we're working through distinct types of ranges of motion, or doing types of activities that we might see such as within our yogas and within our Pilates, where we are going in and just like we saw with the dynamic stretch before, where we're going into extreme ranges of motion in an attempt to allow for greater amounts of movement and greater amounts of mobility to take place in various types of positions where we're going through a dynamic position into a static hold position in an attempt to allow for lengthening of the tissues, where we're attempting to move the body into distinct positions so that we're able to get into ranges of motion that we would not have been able to get into without doing these types of exercises. But we're not actually lengthening the body. What we are doing is we're allowing our body to move into further degrees of range of motion. In doing these types of stretching, in the stretching where we're actually looking at increasing range of motion, increasing flexibility, there's two things that are taking place. The first thing that's taking place is where we are allowing for, just like we saw with the muscle soreness, is we're allowing for a reduction of inflammation to take place. We're allowing for muscle pump to occur that's going to allow for fluid flow to move through. Now, the other thing that's taking place is that we're going to start to reset the nervous system in terms of how much resting tension, or what is usually referred to as tone, can take place within the muscle by changing the signals coming away from two sensors within the muscle. The first sensor within the muscle is embedded in the muscle itself, and that's the muscle spindle. The other sensor is found within the tendon, and that's known as the tendon organ. And what these two sensors are doing is that they're registering how much pull or how much compression is taking place in the tissues of the tendon or in the tissues of the muscle. And do we want that muscle to be in that area? And so when we start looking at this range of motion idea in terms of stretching, in terms of going through the full range of motion in our exercises, or in terms of doing stretching outside of the exercise, what it's allowing for the muscle to do and allowing for the nervous system to do is reset what degree of tension the Golgi tendon organ, the tendon organ itself, and the muscle spindle fiber is going to allow to be experienced by the muscle before the muscle will start to contract in response, in order to ensure that not too much tension is being placed on the muscle that will allow that would result in the muscle tearing or the tendon tearing due to excessive amounts of tension being placed within the muscle itself. Now, the other thing we have to look at when we start looking at this stretching idea is all of the connective tissue that is embedded in and around all of the muscle that is contracting to allow the muscle to do its function. When we start doing a lot of exercise and we start doing a lot of moving, we start going to extreme amounts of exercise or doing heavy weights, a lot of this connective tissue gets broken apart just like the skeletal muscle gets broken apart. And what the inflammation does is the inflammation is going to minimize how well that connective tissue is allowed to reintegrate itself, how the fascia planes are able to reintegrate itself within the muscle and around the muscle that can act like a binding agent to allowing the muscle to go to its full length. And so what stretching is going to allow to do is it's going to allow for that connective tissue to realign itself with the rest of the muscle so the muscle is able to get to full length. Within this fascia, within this connective tissue, we're going to see all the blood vessels and the nerves that are going to the muscle that are going to be important for fueling the muscle to do what the muscle needs to do, but also sending signals to the muscle to allow the muscle to contract. If we don't have full ranges of motion, if we compress the nerve and compress the blood vessels within that fascia, within the connective tissue that surrounds all of the muscle, what that's going to do is that's going to impact the functionality of the muscle itself. And so when we start looking at improving range of motion, when we start looking at improving flexibility, there's two things we're looking at. We're looking at the ability for the muscle to go past the length that it's at before it starts to automatically contract due to the sensory organs. But what it's also doing is also ensuring that blood flow is heading through the muscle correctly and nervous signals are heading through the muscle correctly, but also allowing for the connective tissue to lay out in such a way so we get improved overall performance within the muscle. Which leads to the next idea, which is about the ability for stretching, the ability for flexibility to improve performance. That is, we're going to perform better because of flexibility. And this is where we fall back to, okay, why did we do all these stretching before the PE class? Because the PE teacher told us that we needed to stretch in order to improve our performance. Why do we see people going out for runs or at the gym doing all of these static stretches in order to stretch and warm up the body? Or what we might see if we start looking at our athletes, why are we doing all these dynamic movements in order to warm up the body? The idea of stretching in terms of increased performance goes back to the idea of improving the recovery following a workout more than the idea of improving performance within the individual event. If we start looking at what are the benefits of stretching as it relates to improved performance, what we're really looking at is the ability to have dynamic, active warm-up being more important than static holds. In particular, PNF stretching, where we have an increase in activity of the nerves heading into the muscles, allowing for greater recruitment of the muscles itself. We will also see an improvement of temperature within the tissue, which is going to help reduce some of the friction that can inhibit overall performance for the individual. So when we start looking at what do we want to do in terms of stretching as relates to improved performance, after workouts, doing static stretching can be a benefit. However, before workouts and before exercise and performance, we want to make sure we're doing some sort of dynamic movement so as to get the body ready to do what the body needs to do. And now we've also heard very recently about the idea that stretching is actually going to build muscle. But when we start thinking about building muscle, we usually think about it in terms of what we get from lifting weights more than what we might get from doing stretches. So how can stretching help build muscle? Well, this is where we have to look at some of the more recent research that's out there as it relates to how does stretching actually improve muscle performance in terms of triggering growth? And there's two avenues of thought as relates to what's actually causing that growth to occur. Let's take a look at the cellular side, and then I'm going to speculate as it relates to the kinematic side as to what evidence do we have as it relates to what's going on. So if we look at the review articles, one of the things that we see in terms of the stretched muscle and its activation towards doing contraction is that stretching the muscle puts tension on the actual cell membrane where we have ion channels that's going to lead to the depolarization of the muscle. As the muscle gets stretched, those channels open up and allow ions to move in and out of the skeletal muscle that allows for the depolarization to take place. That's going to lead to the contraction, which is going to increase tension. And by increasing tension, we lead to overload, and overload leads to muscle growth. By having tension on the muscle, we apply excessive amounts of strain on the non-contractile tissue, the titin, the collagen, the elastin, that need to build itself back up so that it will not tear underneath that increasing level of tension. And that's going to lead to muscle growth and hypertrophication of the muscle. In the actual skeletal muscle itself, as we start to stretch the muscle, there is a flattening effect that takes place within the skeletal muscle cell itself. That flattening effect stresses the nucleus of the skeletal muscle cell. And what we have to remember in terms of the anatomy of the skeletal muscle is that it's a polynucleated cell. It means that there's more than one nucleus for the skeletal muscle cell. And that skeletal muscle cell is running the entire length of the muscle fascicle within the muscle fiber itself. And so as we stretch it out, there's tension being placed on the outer edges of the skeletal muscle, where, yes, it's going to open up those ion channels. But the other thing it's going to do is it's going to apply a stress to the nucleus itself. And that stress to the nucleus itself is going to be registered by the nucleus as having overload being placed on it. And it's going to trigger the intracellular responses to activate satellite cells. And by activating satellite cells, it's going to lead to muscle growth within the skeletal muscle. But it's also going to trigger intracellular changes that's going to lead to greater amounts of both contractile and non-contractile proteins, increases amounts of actin and myosin that are going to allow us to do the muscle contraction actively, but also increases amounts of titin, increases amounts of elastin, increases amounts of collagen. This is going to make the muscle a little bit more rigid, but also is going to allow the muscle to become stronger and allow for muscle growth to take place. Now, if we look at this in terms of a kinematic thing, we have to remember within muscle action, there's this idea of what's referred to as length-tension relationship. And that length-tension relationship is basically stating that the muscle doesn't want to be too short and the muscle doesn't want to be too long in terms of its ability to produce maximal amount of strength. As we stretch out the muscle, the ability for the muscle to produce maximal amount of strength drops, particularly maximal amount of active strength drops. The lengthening of the muscle in terms of the muscle kinematics is the eccentric phase of the muscle contraction. That is the negative phase within the lift. So if we start thinking about when do I get maximal amount of muscle growth, I get maximal amount of muscle growth on the negative side because I'm loading the muscle beyond what the muscle is able to actively overcome from resistance. And so when we are doing these lengthening exercises, when we're doing this stretching exercise, by stretching the muscle out, what we're doing is we're applying a long-term negative to the muscle that the muscle is going to sense kinematically as being muscle overload, which in response, the muscle is going to grow in response. And so we start getting newly constructed sarcomeres, newly constructed areas within the muscle that's going to provide for active contraction, but we're also going to start seeing more structural proteins, more collagen, more elastin, more titin, that's going to increase the passive tensile strength of the muscle. It's going to allow for the muscle to be stronger. But we're also going to see recruitment within the skeletal muscle that's going to build the muscle and cause the muscle to become larger cross-sectionally. And that larger cross-sectional muscle is where we're going to start seeing greater amounts of strength. And that greater amounts of strength is going to come not from me mechanically overloading by having heavy amounts of weight, but by having tension overload due to the stretching that's taking place. There is some debate as to what quality of contractile protein we're going to get due to the stretching relative due to the active recruitment that takes place within weightlifting, whether we're lifting weights or doing bodyweight exercise. But there is no actual consensus as to whether or not one is going to be better than the other as relates to the contractile nature of greater amounts of strength or in terms of muscle growth itself. Now, we have to throw a caveat into this idea in terms of just doing stretching in order to grow muscles. And that has to deal with the said principle, specific adaptations to impose demands. Because if all I'm doing is stretching the muscle in order to cause it to grow, the muscle is not going to learn through recruitment patterns with the nervous system, through changes of contractions taking place within the muscle, how to go about being able to do multiple types of contractions necessary in order to perform better, even if I happen to have slightly larger muscles or slightly stronger muscles following stretching. So what's the take-home message that we can have as relates to the ideas about what stretching might provide the body in terms of benefits? Does it reduce soreness? Does it remove lactic acid? Does it increase range of motion? Does it improve flexibility? Does it allow us to perform better? Does it build muscle? Does it, quote unquote, lengthen the body? Well, we know that two of them don't actually take place. We know that we do not get removal of lactic acid from the stretching simply because lactic acid does not build up in the muscles and we do not need stretching in order to remove it. We know that it's not going to, quote unquote, lengthen the body because the only way to lengthen the body is to grow. In terms of performing better, yes, yes, it will allow for better performance. If it's beforehand, it's only going to allow for better performance if stretching is done dynamically or done through PNF, proprioceptive neurological facilitation, in terms of the stretching. That is an active form of stretching where someone else is actively forcing you to go into ranges of motion and then actively causing muscle contractions within those various ranges of motion. That way we can get better performance. Can we get better performance by stretching in between exercise days? Yes. But that's more of the recovery event, the ability to increase the range of motion to improve flexibility and reduce soreness. Then actually allow me to perform better the day that I'm stretching relative to when the event that I need to perform better in happens to be. And so we start looking at stretching. There's a whole aspect of training that we tend to ignore, mainly because a lot of us think it's boring, a lot of us think it's not useful, but stretching has its uses. It gets looked down upon by some individuals. It gets overly emphasized by other individuals, but we do see stretching having its importance in overall health and in overall performance. Well, thanks for watching. There is more on this topic on the podcast, so please make sure you tune in to listen to that. Please make sure you're subscribed. Please make sure you give us that big thumbs up. Give us that big 5-star rating, sharing what we're putting out there with all of your friends and family. Make sure you're following us on all of the various platforms, on YouTube, on the podcast, as well as the written stuff in Substack and the quick takes on Instagram and on Threads.